each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody and welcome. Hi Tony and Christina.
Hey,
hello Nicholas, Nick, and all you
everyone's
out
here.
There. We're all here. So, yesterday was... I'm coming. I just finished a letter for the bulletin. So I've got all this anxiety because yesterday Monday is the day after the weekend. Today is Tuesday, and I know I should know, you know, not to just to put everything aside because I fret and stress out all day. I can't form a single thought. I have a mental block, writer's block. I can't get this letter together, and we have to meet a deadline. So I should just put it aside and just wait until Tuesday and enjoy the day, right? Just
right.
Do things in a light kind of a way, but I never
doesn't
do
work
it.
That way.
I never do it. So I just finished a letter, just now finished a letter, and I feel good about it. I like it. I don't know if you'll like it, but I was thinking about, let me ask you this. How do you assess the times we're in? Reading the signs of the times.
It's a good question.
Because we want to be optimistic and hopeful, and make life as comfortable as possible, one for another. And you try to do that, or I'm trying to do that.
Right.
But how do you assess? How do you as you how do you feel today?
That's the worst thing you want to ask
okay.
me.
How do I feel today? I'll tell you how I feel today.
I don't feel happy.
Why? The world is just bizarre.
Is it bizarre?
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
It is, and it's getting... And the stuff that I hear, because you hear it in the confessional, I get to hear it too when they come in the office and they tell me they opened up to me. That's fine. And I'm like, I just sit there and say, wow, this is not how it's supposed to be.
But how is it?
It's so confusing. Like, what people, there's so much confusion. People don't care, or they're not serious about the faith. They don't even, first of all, they don't know their faith, don't care to learn about the faith, the moral, the values, everything has just been thrown. And I'm not saying there's people that still keep the faith and they stay close to our Lord, but these other generations.
But why not? Why not? This is why not keep the faith? What's the problem here?
Because there has to be discipline, and they don't want the discipline. I asked them the question, Father, and like young people, I even had somebody in the office yesterday who was, they were venting about their granddaughter. She said, you know, I was raised in the faith. I was raised with rules, discipline, regulations, structure. I raised my daughter the same way, but my daughter's not doing her job. She's not raising
her
child. She's not doing her part. And now this child, who is 12 years old, doesn't want to go to church because it's boring. She has other better things to do with her mother. When she's with me, there are no complaints because she knows better how right. I what I expect of her. But my daughter, gives her the choice. What do you want? Like children, they're given the choice. What do you want to eat? What do you? She said, we never had those.
Never had that choice.
We never had that choice for a child. We ate, everybody ate the same. We all ate the same food.
Okay. Yeah, we rarely went out to eat when we were children, but when we were traveling. So I remember we had traveled from Colorado to Florida. My father had been transferred from one Air Force base to another. And it was one of those rare times when we had to go to a restaurant, you know, which was quite exciting for all of us. We, there were seven of us at that point, seven siblings, seven children. And but I do remember going into a restaurant and our parents ordered for us. We didn't even see a menu.
Wow.
You know, they made the order. Mm-hmm. We didn't, as you said, we didn't get to pick and choose what we wanted.
And
but anyway.
So she said, I'm very frustrated because the way I'm seeing my granddaughter, the path that she's taken is not good. But there's nothing, and I feel, and there's nothing I can do because that's my daughter's responsibility.
Powerless.
You feel powerless. And then she was showing me what they're teaching the kids in school, like the mathematics, which was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And there was another teacher, actually a retired teacher, who said, oh, yeah, I help out. I volunteer from time to time, and that's what they're teaching. The methods are, it's a joke. The old methods were more simple.
Mm-hmm.
These new methods are, they go around in circles. It's like confusing. No wonder these kids are confused. But the bottom line is that there's no structure. Children need structure. They need discipline. As much as people don't like it or children don't like it, they need it. And that's what this woman was complaining. She
said, saw the children. Did you see this? The senator in California.
Mm-hmm.
That's really telling.
Yeah, it really was. So the kindergarten teacher, I don't know if she was kindergarten teacher, but these were little children.
Right.
Kindergartners, I heard, first grade. There was a wide variety of students,
right.
But they were from the lower grades
mm-hmm.
of grade school. And they went to, is it Senator Feinstein?
Feinstein,
yeah. They went to her. She's in her 80s. And just the interaction, they were speaking to her like adults.
And the sad thing, they weren't even kids speaking as kids. They were speaking as kids coached. All the garbage.
Yes,
obviously,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And I found it very disrespectful.
Disrespectful
from the beginning.
Completely, completely.
I don't care if you have your own views.
Yeah.
But they don't even know.
Exactly.
They don't know.
That's
they
the thing
know.
That bothered me. And the way she handled it was really good.
Well, she spoke to them as an adult to an adult, you know.
Exactly.
Right? And they probably didn't know. And that probably went over
their heads. No, it didn't because they kept right on. Even as she was talking, they kept, it was the uh-huh. Green Deal, the new Green Deal, mm-hmm. whatever, the climate change and... so they, as you said, they were coached. I mean, they couldn't say that. This
is just so obvious.
Yeah.
But did they really know? Because even
they didn't. They didn't know.
That's what I'm saying. Even this person, she said, the way these children are being taught, the way they dress, these girls.
Yeah.
They think they're mature, but they're not. They're not mature enough. Their minds are not there yet, but they think they are, but they're not.
I think all of this is coming to a head.
I hope so.
It's like when people and I'm not. I've been guilty of it too. You know, you put your child in front of the TV. That's the person that you know takes care of them.
Yeah.
You know, you're tasked with taking care of kids, and you figure the quickest thing is show them the TV. Now, again, I fell for this like many people do, but I think at this point, what are we raising? And you know, when I think about it, when you think about these senators and how they're acting, it's like kids. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Like or even the phones.
But to see of course, somebody was telling me yesterday about it's a no-brainer. Yeah. You know, keep the kids off the telephone, keep them off the computer until they're, you know, until they're 30 years old, whatever.
It sounds like chastising, but if you look at it's, parents have, it's a big issue, but I think that's the difference when you talk about, you know, when you were younger and you went for the first time to, you know, to eat something. It's like, we didn't have that. Today, it's like, you have to have, everybody else is taking care of your kids except you.
Except you, except the parents.
And it's sad. It's sad, but that's the way life is today.
Or the parent is up, like all of us, you know, we're up against the world in which we live. And so, you take the children in California, in San mm-hmm. Francisco, and going before the senator and chiding her and really mm-hmm. demanding that she that she lean in their direction and that that she's going to be the cause of the demise mm-hmm. of their future and all this and yada yada yada, and
yep.
they go on and on, and as she's even trying to speak to them, they keep shouting her. They try to shout her out, shout her down, you know. But you're not you know you gotta. It was so telling. I thought mm-hmm. it was so telling. Christina's spoken. We'll come back to Christina.
I don't know.
And again, I don't want to come on the radio and, you know, we're,
no,
I want to, because I do, go ahead.
I'm saying, Father, I think it's for you because you're always trying to look for the medium. You don't want to sound, you know, you don't want to be the heavy. I think in today's society, when you start telling the truth, when you don't make it rosy and happy and you know, it covers what's really, it's bad out there. I mean, I think, I want to say, and even for me, it seems that if today, if people aren't finally waking up and lifting the veil of what's been happening to us as a society, as a people for so many years now, and it's coming to a point where you kind of turn around and you say, oh, this is not surprising. This is what happens when a people have acted the way they have for so many years. Then you have that other side of the people that still haven't woke up yet. They're just, oh no, this is, you know, I can do this. I can juggle this. This is nothing, blah, blah, blah. You know, you get confronted with how do you make it seem happy for everybody? How do you make it seem positive?
Well, you can't.
And it's hard.
It's not reality for one thing.
It's not reality.
It's God. I think of the Blessed Virgin Mary's words to Saint Bernadette, which reflected the words of Jesus to the apostles mm-hmm. and through the apostles to all of us, and that is that you're not going to have happiness in this world. I can't mm-hmm. promise you happiness in this world. It's going to be difficult. This is a hard life. It's a struggle. It's a battle. And if we don't understand that from the outset, then we're going to feel that we're somehow mm-hmm. abnormal, or we're going to mask whatever junk is going on inside because we don't want to, you know, it's like you got to have a happy face. Mm-hmm. You got to, but actually, to be honest, you know, the very people who seem to propagate or perpetuate or perpetrate all this change for the for their self-interest or for their mm-hmm. agenda, because of their own proclivities or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. they're not happy people.
No, they're That's bitter. The
they're very angry
they're
people.
They're angry people. And in this country, and I'm going to say it because yesterday I was talking to my dad. He watches the news. I don't watch the news, but he watches the local and the international news. So you just brought up the thing with the children, the way they were, how disrespectful they were with this older person. Mentioned, and that happens in this country. You go anywhere else, it would not happen. He mentioned a popular reporter, he's well known, Jorge Ramos,
mm-hmm.
in the Hispanic community.
Okay.
So he went to Colombia, and he, when he's been here, he's been very direct and with the president and all that. So he got like that. He, Mr. Hotshot over there,
mm-hmm.
got like in Colombia. They right away arrested him for You're being kidding. Disrespectful wow. to the president.
Wow. They, oh, that is interesting.
That's what that I want to say with this country. You go anywhere else, and that would not happen. At somewhere else, you would have been. He would have been dead. Other countries. So he got arrested, and they confiscated all the their cameras, the everything.
Oh, Jorge Ramos.
Jorge Ramos.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
Yes, I'm like, well, you know what? That tells you.
Oh, that is interesting.
Mm-hmm. My dad was telling me. I said, you don't get away with that here. We were so spoiled. We're everybody's rights. And this and that and the big loudmouth, and look what happened. You go anywhere else, that they won't tolerate that
nonsense. And see, the thing is, if you hold to the morality of the church. Mm-hmm. And see, the sad reality today is that this scandals, and we've dealt with that, but it doesn't help our situation at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the same time, I'm reading about Cardinal Pell from Australia, who's been convicted and will probably do
time
in jail. Yeah. But the whole, as I was reading the article, it just mm-hmm. seemed so flimsy. And, you don't know mm-hmm. wherein lies the truth. And
sure.
But that aside, because as I was saying this Sunday at the Mass, you know, I myself, I'm traumatized by what mm-hmm. is happening in the church.
Yes, sir.
It's good that any darkness is exposed and that it be eradicated from the life of the church. It's never going to fully be eradicated because Jesus said you're always going to have scandal, but this is, you know, at so many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
But the is there a point where we become blind then mm-hmm. to the good, which I still believe the good outweighs the bad. Far outweighs the bad. It's just that the bad, the evil, the ego mm-hmm. apart from God, the selfishness, the self-centeredness, the narcissism that I keep saying we've been breeding narcissism for so long, that in and of itself, because of what it is, it takes the upper hand, and it's speaks, this is the, sure. these are the voices that are, that really shout into silence.
Mm-hmm.
I would say people of, struggling people, because everybody
sure.
struggles in life, but people who have a genuine virtue, hold to a morality, hold to faith, have a belief in God. See, I've said it before, but the unbelief, not to believe in God, it's just not normal. And I think we have to keep
mm-hmm.
telling ourselves that and telling other people that you know, it's not normal not to believe, because we are created by God for God. And there's a law written into our hearts, the natural law, and even people who don't espouse Christianity
mm-hmm.
or Judeo-Christianity, they have it, the law is there as well, you know. But there's an evil that is corrupting, or as the Bible scripture tells us, reminds us, that evil, darkness, the devil, disguises himself
yeah.
in a false virtue, a false good. And so that false virtue, this false good, this, you know, relativism that says, you know, we're not going to judge, you do your thing, I do my thing, and somehow we're going to have this utopian way of living where everything is in harmony, but it's really about the free reign of the flesh that, as Scripture says, of its very nature will enslave.
Mm-hmm.
And who's not included in that utopian society are those who hold to a truth, and that truth is God, who has revealed himself in Jesus. Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way and the only way. He is our Redeemer. He is the Savior. He is our salvation. And even those who, through no fault of their own, but are true to their own conscience as it was formed in their own religions, their own faith journey, at the end of all things, all will come to know that there is no other way but through Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this faith in Christ, in Christianity, Judeo-Christianity, has to be eradicated from the society today in order to further this utopian ideal that just let everybody do whatever they want, be whatever they want. And so when we talk about the children, how the children are being, and I was listening to some commentaries this morning on this too, that do we even realize what this gender stuff, I don't even know what they call it, but to try to inculcate, to teach the children already from the time they're in kindergarten, to accept and to celebrate these different genders, or decide who you are, but don't. I was heard something this morning that this is becoming very common in Hollywood. That these parents aren't identifying their children, that they will allow the children to identify themselves, whether they're boys or whether they're girls.
So, what are they naming them?
But just listen, how idiotic that seems.
Yeah. Well, it sounds.
I mean, how do you let a child do that for himself when a child doesn't even know that?
Yeah. So what is the parent there for then?
Right.
Why even?
You don't need parents then.
Yeah, you need parents.
We shouldn't have children anymore, but still.
Yeah, they're killing them.
That's the new thing now.
Anyway, I'll tell you, let's take a break. We got to take a break. We'll come back and... Well, the question I have is, are we headed toward Armageddon? Is the world on the verge of collapse? Is Western civilization on this rapid spiral toward its decline?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Those are the questions, okay?
Totally.
So think about that and give me the answer, all right? Mm-hmm. I want to know. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Christina, during the break, before we go into the, I guess maybe in a way we're answering the question, but I had never heard about this.
The story of
Miley Cyrus.
So.
I don't even know who. I kind of know who she is, but I've never listened to her.
Hannah Montana. She's popular here with the young.
She was
the
Hannah Montana.
Yeah, she
was Hannah Montana. She just went crazy.
The Disney. You got to be kidding!
That's
I didn't know that.
Remember,
yeah.
Just needs to double.
She got all crazy.
I mean, the only thing I know about Hannah Montana is that all the kids loved just adored her.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, there's a perfect example.
So what happened?
No discipline there, her father, you know. So as she got older, you know, she got wild. And so she went to give a concert in Mexico. And she's up there acting crazy, and she takes the Mexican flag and just puts it on her butt. You know, she's just shaking.
Disrespected
the flag. You do not disrespect the flag in other countries. You do not do that. You do that here because, you know, this country allows
that kind of stuff.
But you don't do that in other countries. Oh, no.
Let me clarify that.
Not in Mexico.
This country would not allow you to disrespect the rainbow flag.
Of course, you know.
Then you're in trouble.
Yeah. Disrespect the crucifix or an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the American flag, but do not dare disrespect the rainbow flag.
Uh-huh. Yeah. How?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is that so? They took her. They right away. They were ready to kill her.
They took her off.
They took her off the stage, and they got her out of the country. She had to flee because they were ready to kill her.
Did they take her off the stage in the concert?
Yes.
Midway into the concert?
They had to take her out because they were ready to kill her.
That is, I never heard that. Wow.
They were ready to kill her. And it's like, you don't do that. Yeah. And Mexico is known, you know, every country has their issues, but people do respect the flag. They wouldn't dare.
It just tells you where people's heads are at. I know in the heat of what you think you can do in your own country, you go somewhere else, there's no respect for, you know, the president, like you said, with the other example you're using. But I mean, I don't understand where people think this is okay. Well, I do understand.
No, because
if you allow
it
and nobody
says
allowed.
Anything. It's been allowed.
It's celebrated here.
It's celebrated,
the more you
can
be a rabble rouser or whatever it is that, whatever.
Even with this reporter who was arrested, they told him, how dare you? How dare you? Who do you think you are to come in this talk to the president that way? Oh, no.
Well, that is the one thing. I mean, you know, at the beginning when you were hearing fake news and all that, I'll be honest. I was, you know, skeptical. I was, well, this can't be. This is. But now, as every day goes and you see such absurdity, and it just adds and adds. I don't know where to go.
Well, you know, you take. Speaking of that, you know, the guy, this Smollett, who was an empire. I've never seen that either, and I didn't know. I didn't even know who he was. But
well, now you're offending him because everybody knows Empire, and what you just said by saying that you're one or the other now because.
But this is a guy that staged a beating up. This was a hoax.
I think, you know, it's funny because nobody they now realize it's a hoax, but then they're saying that, well, I've heard, well, police set him up, but the thing that's out of this whole example that's really telling and nobody's addressing it is he staged this hoax.
He staged it. Why would they set him up?
But he said, this is MAGA country.
MAGA country.
And he made it as seem as the Trump, you know, was done. MAGA. And say nobody's really touching that anymore.
No.
Nobody's, that's kind of faded. It's now, okay, well,
because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Right. And that's just sad because people, when you first heard this, knew this doesn't happen in Chicago.
Right.
Okay, but all the people on air, oh, here we go. This is what President Trump is starting, blah, blah, blah. It's almost like there was something else being, it fell flat.
So I heard on the news this morning about a transgender person, I don't know if it was a man or a woman, in Michigan, who was made Person of the Year. Had you heard about this?
Yeah, this was disgusting.
And this person actually fake news. Mm-hmm. Real news, but it was a hoax.
Uh-huh.
Burned his or her house down, whatever it was, a he or she or whatever. Mm-hmm. Burned the house down, and in the process, the animals died.
His animals.
His own house, his own animals, and it was portrayed as a
like a hate crime.
Hate crime.
They didn't like
against
him for whatever reason.
Transgenderism,
right,
or whatever. And after the investigation, he or she, whoever it was, did it.
Yeah.
And they'd get it all on camera. You know, I was in Rome, I think, when all this happened with the Covington, the younger students from the high school in Kentucky. But I heard last night that, first of all, you know, everybody went to judgment.
Right.
Judged these young kids. They were at the pro-life march. Right to Life March, pro-life march in Washington. They were waiting for a bus, and there were these black Israelites, or whatever they call it. They're racist.
It was like a hate group. That's the best way to describe it.
And they were not just taunting the young kids, but they were saying all kinds of obscene things, you know. And these are high school students. And then the Indian, the so-called Indian guy, you know, with his drum, went up.
So the Indian, they had a protest too. And from my understanding, from what I've heard, without seeing it, because when you see the little clip, it kind of does look like, you know, the kids
were being disrespectful.
But
on H.
The black Israelites and...
Oh, you didn't hear it? You didn't see that part of it?
No, you didn't see it. They had a thing going on.
Yeah.
They were kind of antagonizing each other.
Right.
And the kids were just watching this. So then what you see is the kids sitting there and the Indian guy, who's an activist himself, who was there trying to start something anyway, comes in, and then it looks like these kids are smirking.
And the kids are just smiling. I mean, they're not.
It wasn't even a smirk, I have to say.
They were just smiling.
But the drum, that guy was beating that drum right in the face of this kid who stood there. And but what's interesting is, of course, the media, everybody, Hollywood types, the media, even politicians, immediately... You know, these racist kids, these white racist pro-lifers, you know, and the kids, even to watch their, you know, singing and all, they were chanting their school, but they were trying
fight song, they're
kids. What do you do? These are kids, young kids, young men, teenagers, high school students. A lot of them looked like they were maybe freshmen or sophomores. And so I just say they're just kids. They didn't act in a disrespectful way. And of course, when they actually went through and looked at the entire video.
That's the thing. People need to look at that entire thing, and you'd be surprised.
They didn't ever say anything against anybody. On the contrary, it was from the other side. But they hailed the Indian as being this Vietnam vet and all the... You know, this was all fake news.
Yeah.
Not only was he not a Vietnam vet... But he was a he had gone AWOL. He was he's got a criminal record.
See, at this point, none of this really matters.
He's in all different. He's in different places protesting. Yeah. He even went in and disrupted a Catholic mass. You know, before this incident. So they celebrate that.
And they made him out to be the victim.
But see, we're speaking about this, but we're supposed to be. Because we're the perpetrators of this racism and the church
and the whites.
Anglos.
Take your pick. It could be almost anything.
But it's we tend to be somewhat docile, you know. But there's a point where you gotta begin to fight back. I think.
Yeah.
I think we're getting to that point.
You know, there's people, and believe it or not, I never thought I would be this person now, but I think I'm leaning more toward this. There's people that want to fight and want to go back and say, look, but I think at this point, it's coming to a point where there's nothing you can say. You keep getting shouted down.
Shouted down.
The truth is being dispersed because you're never allowed to say it. The minute you say or think contrary.
So what do we do? So I think, you know, this is where we have to go back to Scripture.
Yeah.
And instead of picking and choosing and domesticating Christ Jesus, we've got to look at him for who he is. And he was a very, very powerful, very strong man, the God-man. he wasn't timid. Mm-hmm. He had a humility, and humility is there's a strength and a power mm-hmm. in true humility. But see, we just so domesticate. We've so domesticated the faith that it's if we don't talk in a soft way, if it's not that we're, you know, I was always say tiptoeing through the mm-hmm. tulips. If we're not, you know, okay, no judgment. I do my thing. You do your thing. I'm just going to be kind. And, you know, no. There's a point where I mean, well, let me go into this this letter. Okay, or this. The question. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll do that. Again, I ask the question, are we headed toward Armageddon? Is the world on the verge of collapse? Is Western civilization on a rapid spiral toward its decline? Let's take a break. We'll come back and maybe try to answer that. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I saw these articles. This is these were BBC mm-hmm. commentaries, and they raise a question. I give it the title because I don't remember the title. I read them quickly, and then I threw them away. Just thought it was interesting. But the headlines, the title, caught my attention. Again, these are my titles. These weren't, but mm-hmm. the titles convey the same thing I'm saying here. Are we headed toward Armageddon? Is the world on the verge of collapse? Is Western civilization on a rapid spiral toward its decline? And each of these commentaries, they were, you could see that they were carefully researched, they were thought out, and they issued warnings that unless things change, the end is imminent. So I thought to myself, after reading the articles, that, well, I'm not the only one issuing this this clarion call mm-hmm. for a radical change for the sake of our salvation. And I really truly believe that we need a radical change. We need to turn away, this is, we're getting ready for Lent, turn away from sin, be faithful to the gospel. But the difference between these articles is that they were written from a very strictly secular point of view, with an emphasis on climate change, on world and national government, and on economics. But the question of religious faith and morality has seemed to be consciously or purposefully dismissed as perhaps irrelevant to the subject of the decline of a civilization. And so it seems to me that the scientific data can be debated. It can be debated, with regard to climate change, with regard to the government, with regard to the economy. But when it comes to civilizations rooted in God and the natural law, and especially rooted in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so Judeo-Christianity, when civilizations rooted in God and the natural law, and so let me just say natural law, so that even if a civilization or a nation or a people, if they do not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if they do not know Jesus Christ, there's still the natural law, and that makes for a noble people because they're acting in obedience to the law written into their hearts. So they basically observe the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and historically are a God-fearing people, historically speaking. But in Judeo-Christianity, all that is purged and purified, and so our point of reference in Christianity is Jesus Christ, especially you just go to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, I think chapter 5, 6, and 7, but the whole of the Gospel message. But if we deviate, when the moral compass of a nation or a civilization or a people rooted in God and the natural law, it is certain that when the moral compass of a civilization is neglected, then grave consequences are inevitable. And this is so true to what we see playing out in our own nation and in much of the Western world, and in fact, in the whole world because of technology and the movement of information, the seductions and the deceptions and the illusion and the brainwashing. You know, people have always, you know, accused of Christianity of brainwashing. I mean, is this not a brainwashing that's going on in the secular world? What is it that the Africans are so often? I was just reading the other day, I think it was Cardinal Sarah from Africa, but they speak against this colonialization, let's see, the ideological colonialization, or what is it, the ideas of the West. Mm-hmm. We're trying to colonize or trying to bring our ideologies that are no longer grounded in Judeo-Christian morality or principles or the laws of God. So that when President Obama went to his own nation, into various nations, but I think I say his own nation, his own family, country. His comes from Kenya.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was there, it was in a couple of those countries, I think it was in Kenya.
He went to Kenya.
But the president there said, you know, we're not, because he tried to promote this.
And he tried it in Nigeria as well.
The redefinition of marriage and all this, and they said, you know, we're a God-fearing people.
Yeah.
We're a Christian people. This is not.
He was going to bring in funding,
but
they had to conform, and they said, "We are not going to conform. This is not how we live. We are God fearing people." So they said, "Take your money with. We don't need that kind of help."
Right. So the gospel that's coming up this Sunday, it opens with a Jesus who says, "Can the blind guide the blind? Will they not lead each other into the pit?" And I was thinking, you know, you'll relate to this, Tony, I think Nick, Christine, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but I immediately thought of the all-seeing eye, evil eye of Mordor.
No? Yeah.
And that's from Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings. The Lord of the Ring, is it The Lord of the Ring, right?
The Lord of the Ring.
Lord of the Ring. And in that movie from the Land of Shadow, the evil eye of the Dark Lord sees all things in its quest to destroy the One Ring, right? And the evil eye leads to enslavement, to destruction, to death, in its quest to usurp an omniscient and omnipresent good reflected in the lives of a moral and virtuous people. So the Lord of the Ring, the Eye of Sauron. Do you say Sauron? Is that how you pronounce it? Sauron. So the Lord of the Ring, it's like a parable, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. It's likened to a parable of the battle waged between good and evil, truth and untruth, light and darkness, heaven and hell. and ultimately between God and Satan. And see, I think this is where in modern-day Christianity, as reflected in too many of the prelates, the bishops, cardinals, priests, the religious, who are, let's just say, the teachers of the faith. And I would say, certainly there was a time when parents, adults, looked to and depended on their teaching, right? Mm-hmm. It seems now it's we desperately need the lay people to set things right. You know, when you feel that there's been true deception or the watering down. But the point being that the battle is real. And I think, see, I think this is what we're trying to do in the society is trying to, again, it's the movement toward this kind of utopian, or some people call it a world, the new world order or mm-hmm. whatever, that we're all going to, you know, everybody can just do what they want, and we're just going to, you know, there's just going to be big government, right, that's going to basically dictate and ensure that no boundaries are too well defined, unless, of course, you disrupt the world order, which means if you bring in the gospel message and emphasize God is supreme, and that there is a natural law that has to be respected, then you're immediately ousted out one way or the other, you know, shouted out, or God forbid that you have to be eliminated because you're disrupting the new world order, which is a falsehood, right? So there's a battle. There's a real battle. Now, thanks be to God, in Jesus Christ, the victory is secured and realized, but only to the extent that we're guided by the eye of God, the omniscient and omnipresent, almighty, the powerful eye of God. In other words, we'd be fools to turn our eyes away from God, who alone can effectively guide us through the treacherous things of life in this world. If we're not turned to the Lord, we become indeed the blind guiding the blind, and we end up in the pit. And it seems like that's where we're at. Does it mm-hmm. resonate with you guys? Does mm-hmm. that make sense? I was went to this beautiful quote that I have in the last chapter of my book, A Mother's Plea, and it's a quote from St. Cyril of Jerusalem, who wrote in a very wise way. He said, "The dragon sits by the side of the road watching, the dragon sits by the side of the road watching those who pass. Beware lest he devour you. We go to the Father of souls, but it is necessary to pass by the dragon." Right? So the point is, okay, so a week from tomorrow we enter the penitential season of Lent, and our foreheads are going to be marked with the words, "Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Turn away from sin, be faithful to the gospel." So this season prepares us for the great feast of the Paschal Mystery. It's Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, the Triduum, which celebrates in the culminating moment in the history of all created things, whereby salvation is attained for us through the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. So that's the Paschal Mystery, which is renewed every time we celebrate the Holy Mass. And the Paschal Mystery is the definitive victory over the Lord of Darkness in the land of shadow, going back to the Lord of the Ring. So the keeping with that theme, is the end of our civilization imminent? Are we embarking on Armageddon? Is the world going to end? Well, the answer is, you've already answered it, Tony, yes. But is a definitive yes. Yes, indeed it is. The old order, this is clearly biblical teaching from the beginning to the end, the old order, that is the sinful order, will pass away. and the defeat of the Lord of Darkness will be fully realized. And it may happen in our lifetime, mm-hmm. but it may not happen for another million years. Mm-hmm. But the question is, how much longer will you be in the here and the now of this life in this world? Whose eyes guide you through the trials and the tribulations, through the fears and the anxieties, the distress, the sorrows of this life? Whose eyes are guiding you? If the eyes are firmly fixed on the Lord, and if we do not, if our eyes are not fixed on the Lord, and if we do not daily surrender all things to Him, we are then indeed the blind, guiding the blind, and we will indeed fall into the pit. You see, what we have to understand is, and humbly admit, we're being guided by somebody. And so if it's not the Holy Spirit, then there are the other spirits, evil, deceptive, dark, but in the guise of the light, that are doing the guiding, but they're really blind because they're not acting in and through the Spirit of God or the eyes of God, leading us into the pit, into the abyss of darkness. And all you have to do is you just see this. I take another example. I think I spoke about her before. On the plane from Rome, I was watching this documentary on the life of Whitney Houston. Mm. I mean, this was a woman who was raised in the Baptist church. Mm-hmm. She was a gospel singer. Her family was all, they were all part of that. But according to the documentary, and of course it's been, I mean, it's truth, you know, they, not all of them, but a number of them were, got caught up in the whole drug stuff, mm-hmm. and sex and drugs and all this.
The fame.
And she transitioned into the secular, and mm-hmm. successfully. I mean, she's one of the most beautiful voices. I mean, one of the most beautiful, just a beautiful entertainer, beautiful person on one level. Mm-hmm. But she was overcome by the darkness. Mm-hmm. And she knew it, and she admitted it. And it killed her. Eventually, it killed her. Yep. And so the point is, these are the idols and the gods. And yet, if you really scratch a little deep, you begin to see the hidden darkness that is there. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So how do you... This is where it almost seems like we're losing the battle because we can't compete with that. We can't compete with that. And we're not here to compete. We're here to claim the victory in the battle, mm-hmm. even as we have to fight the good fight. But see, this is my frustration in the church currently, is that we've tried to so domesticate the faith, and we shy away from the reality of the battle, and yet we know that the battle is real.
Yeah.
And so even if you speak about the battle, okay, people, we have this barrage of bad news all around us all the time. Mm-hmm. And so some people try to insulate, mm-hmm. come away from that. So when they come to the stuff of the church, I say the stuff of the church because it's, I purposely say the stuff of the church, is that they don't want to go deep into the faith because just give me a pill, make me feel good, and it'll be okay. But then you get bored with that. It becomes irrelevant because it's not real. It's just like what we said in the beginning about mm-hmm. the word?
Illusion?
There was something, but it's an illusion, but mm-hmm. When it's not reality, when it's a superficial kind of Christianity. Mm-hmm. Superficial understanding of the faith. Right. You know, I said Sunday at the Mass that this faith is going to cost us.
Yeah.
And it's a price worth paying, but it's going to cost us. Yep. And Jesus, see, this is where we seem to shy away from all this, but he says, lay down your life. Lose yourself.
This is all becoming very clear. And I think when you say people want to hear the good, well, believe it or not, the truth is the beginnings of the good, and people don't want to take that step.
The truth will set you free, exactly, as the scripture says.
But the truth is going to cost, because we can't just look at where we've, look at how far we've come and where we're going.
What does it mean? You've got to change something about yourself. Sure. And this is, as we're preparing for Lent next week, it's about what do we need to change in ourselves? Mm-hmm. What do we need to, come away from something and go to someone, and that someone has to be a Christ Jesus, not keep him there at a distance. Mm-hmm. But
like in one of the movies, it said, "Well, I want the truth. Well, you can't handle the truth.
Can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the people don't. They can't handle the truth because with it,
it changed.
It changed.
Well, it goes back to what you initially said about the discipline. And this is the problem is we don't want the discipline of the faith.
And it's costly.
Yeah.
And the sad reality is, and this is what we deal with so often here. And I think anybody listening, you know, you're dealing with it in your families, you're dealing with it in your neighborhood, you're dealing with it in the schools. You see the consequences. And so we can't pretend that there's not for instance, the opioid crisis in our nation. You know, what are we doing to our kids? What is the technology? What is it? I mean, how have we enslaved ourselves? We seem to have this inclination to behavior that is addictive, bad habits, addictive behavior, to soothe the pain, to fill the void, when in fact, you know, we've got to create the space. We've got to not, we can't be afraid of that inner sanctum, that emptiness within us, and know that it's always going to be there because that's the dwelling place of God. And so rather than fill it with the stuff of this world, we've got to keep it, you know, keep it empty. We can't fill it with, it's an illusion to even think we can fill it with the things of this world because we can't. But to accept that there is a natural loneliness in life, there is a natural kind of depression, there's natural distress. Life is trial and tribulation. There is sorrow. There is stress. Distress, but God is with us in that. And to the extent that we allow God in, allow the potter to mold the clay of our lives, to purge and to sanctify, to transform us, then it's what is it? Scripture says the gold that is fire tried, right?
Yes.
We gotta be. We just want the cheap way out, right? Yeah. The cheap way out of reality.
And, the easy way out.
The easy way out. Well, it's easy and it's cheap.
Yeah.
And when we fill ourselves with God, it brings us this deep inner peace.
An inner peace that the world can't give.
Yes.
No,
exactly. And then with the drugs, for a while, for some time. But when the effect goes away, you feel worse than when you first started, you know, when you took the... So,
you get the last word there, Christina. So, anyway, the victory is ours. The point is, you know, we can't shy away from the reality, and the reality is that we are in a battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spiritual battle, and we just have to fight the good fight, claim the victory, and yes, joy and peace, but it's not the kind of joy and peace that the world seems to embrace. It's something much, much deeper. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? Marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred. Read the signs, no time to hide.